Welcome to the Asian Baseball Research Committee. Today we are truly lucky to have two honored guests. The first is an award-winning documentary filmmaker, Yuriko Romer. The second is former San Francisco Giants pitcher, Masanori Murakami. Now, as you may know, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Mashi becoming the first Japanese major leaguer. And we're doing a 9-city cross-country tour, and this is our first stop. So you're our guinea pigs. So we've got an hour, and we've got a lot to do. We're going to start with Yuriko showing a film. It lasts 9 minutes. She's going to say a couple words about it. And then I'm going to get up, and Mashi and I will do a little presentation. Yuriko?
I'll try to be quick. So I'm making a documentary called Diamond Diplomacy, U.S.-Japan Relations Through a Shared Love of Baseball. And I've been working very closely with Rob. So I have a 9-minute clip, which just kind of walks you through the history that will be in the film and whet your appetite for the Mashi story. But I just want to tell you that it's very rough. We're very early in production, and you will see some of the old footage up there, and it will have time code running on it and all these strange things, but it's just because we're very, very early, and they're just there for temporary. But hopefully 2 years from now, I'll be able to bring the film. So thanks.
I left my in San Francisco, high on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars.
Okay. Well, I know you all want to hear Mashi speak, but he arrived last night from Tokyo and had 3 hours sleep. So with that and the language barrier, I'm afraid you're going to have to listen to me for a little while. But I'm going to tell Mashi's story, and we're going to break from my narrative for Mashi to give the details, and I think it will work out really well. So Mashi was born in 1944 in the mountain town of Otsuki, about 30 miles west of Tokyo. Now, his father had served in China in the Imperial Army and had no use for baseball. He thought it was a colossal waste of time, and he forbade Mashi from playing in his middle school team. But that didn't stop him. Instead of going to his after-school tutoring, Mashi snuck out and joined the team anyway. And you could imagine he was eventually discovered, but to his great surprise, his father said, as long as you keep your grades up, you can continue to play baseball. And he brought this small town team where they barely had enough to fill out a 9 to the regional championship. And that caught the attention of Hosei II High School, a national baseball powerhouse in Japan. They recruited him, gave him a full scholarship, and he moved into the dorms in Kawasaki. Now, as you probably know, baseball in Japan has been infused by the martial arts. They practice not only to improve their skills on the diamond, but also to bolster the spirit, with the belief that the team with the greater spirit will often overcome the lesser team. And one of the ways they did this at Hosei was to deprive the children, because remember, these are young high school players, with water. But Mashi and his teammates came up with a special way to cheat. Mashi, can you tell us about that story?
I want to play the high school. Then at that time, we cannot drink the water in practice time, about 4 hours. But I changed the shirts. then go to the clubhouse, then looking around, and nobody there, then very quickly drink the water. The other players go to the foul ball, go in the rice paddy, then go pick up a ball, then rice paddy is a water. Then, a lot of baby mosquito inside. But they, the towel, they take in towel, they put in the water, and they go like this. Yes. Cannot drink the water.
So when Mashi was close to graduating, he had no intention of turning pro. He wanted to go to college and become the typical Japanese salaryman. But much to his surprise, coaches started showing up and offering him professional contracts. And he kept on saying, no, I don't want to go. Until a certain man came, and that's Kazuta Soroka, the manager. Oh, there's Mashi in high school. And there's Soroka, the manager of the Nankai Hawks. And you already had a preview of what happens. He comes over to the Murakami home, and he tries to convince Mashi to sign. And Mashi's, I don't want to. And he's about to go, and...
My third year, the summertime, Nankai Hawks professional manager came to my house. Then he said, hey, Mashi, please, sign the contract, Hawks. But I said, no, I'd like to go to college anyway. Then before leave to my house, he said, okay, Mashi, if you sign the contract, send to the United States, just study the baseball. Then I changed mine because high school, that time, I saw a lot of TV, the Rawhide, and Hollywood movie. I know the John Wayne and Marilyn Monroe. Then I like to one time to the come over here. Yeah.
So he signed his professional contract, and his first season was in the Japanese minor leagues. And at the time, he's only 18 years old. He's a kid. And Soroka says, I'm not going to put him in with the older players in the dormitory. I'm going to board him in my own home. For a year, he lived with the head manager, and he was basically adopted for a year. He was part of the family. And in early 1964, the Hawks were pitching rich. They were favorites to win the Pacific League pennant, and they were wondering, what can we do with our young 18-year-old pitcher? So they decided to come up with an agreement. And there's Soroka and Mashi. They formed an agreement with the San Francisco Giants. And the San Francisco Giants would take Mashi and two other minor league players and bring them over to the San Francisco minor league system for seasoning. And they signed this agreement. We have one page of the two-page agreements here. And the agreement's entirely in English. And the Hawks didn't bother to have it translated. They just signed. And what they missed was one clause that said, if the Giants like any of these players, for only $10,000, they could buy their contracts. So Mashi and his two teammates arrive in Arizona for spring training. And this is a big deal. This is covered by the Sporting News and the New York Times and other major papers across the country. And they had a great time. And the first thing they noticed was American players don't practice very hard. So Mashi's assigned to Fresno, the California single A team. And his manager is a fellow named Bill Worrell. And Bill Worrell is particularly special because he loved Japan. He had gone over three times on three different major league tours of Japan. He could speak a few words of Japanese, and he was very sensitive. So he sat his players down and said, this is the way you behave to your Japanese teammates. These are the words you don't use under any circumstances. But he also did something that would change Mashi's life. Mashi was a starting pitcher, and Worrell decided he would be best suited as a reliever He's left-handed. It's always a short-handed, short supply of great left-handed relief pitchers. So he changed him into a reliever. So Mashi goes off to Fresno, and he fits in great with his new teammates because he really tried at all times to fit in, and he always carried two dictionaries with him in his back pocket, one in Japanese and one in English, so he could communicate. And he would go out to the movies with them. He would go to dinner, even to the dog races. And on the diamond, he excelled. Became the league's top reliever, and actually, even though he's only a reliever, I think he was third in strikeouts for the entire league. And in September 1964, the Giants are in the middle of a pennant race, and they desperately need a left-handed reliever. And they decided, let's see what Mashi can really do. So they call him up all the way from single-A to the big leagues. And Mashi's going to tell the story about when he heard the news in his first day in the major leagues.
August, middle of August, some you know, players talk to the some kind of story. And I understand a little bit English. Then what you're talking about? Oh, maybe you too, because it's September 1st is calling up many players. Then end of the August, the manager said, "Oh, Mashi, you go major league." Then Thursday night, prayers, shukufuku wa nante no. They shake hand and good luck, good luck, good luck. Then I fly to the New York. Then September 1st, eighth inning. Before the eighth inning, manager called to the pen. If no runs, Mashi go to the bottom of the eighth. Okay, then I'm warming up. Then eighth inning, now pitching San Francisco Giants, number 10, Masanori Murakami. Then I go to the left field. Then walking the field, then look to the stadium, 40,000 people look to me. Before, you know, minor league is maybe 400-500 people. Then if I'm afraid, you know, then, okay, now, you know, make more relaxed. I sing song, the sukiyaki song, like la 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 la, walking, then sometime, then walking the mound. Yes, make it relax. Yeah.
And as you probably know, Mashi made short work of the New York Mets that day. I think it took him just 13 pitches to retire the side. Do you want to tell this?
And then go to the mound and warming up. The catcher come to me, then I talk to them about the sign, you know. Then I think I thought the first pitch is outside corner, the first ball. Then catcher like this. Then okay, I throw the number five, the fifth, the Charlie Smith. Then first pitch is outside the corner, strike. The perfect ball, yes. But I don't have the ball. That time, long time I was nothing. Then I get the strikeout. The next hit, I don't remember the name, but he's a base hit. Then next hit is a strikeout. The next hit is a ground ball, the infield. The chain. The ninth inning, only one run. Okay, run on, two guys run on. Hey, please hit home run because I like to pitch one more inning. If tie, you know, I like to go pitch. I like to, anyway, you know, winning, no. Just like pitching one more inning, yeah.
So for those of you who were around then following baseball, this was big news. I mean, this was not this footnote in history. It was front page of all the papers in California. It even made front page of the New York Times. And it was picked up by basically every paper in the country. And we get this wonderful cartoon from the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, that September of 1964, Mashi goes on to become one of the best relief pitchers on the San Francisco Giants and their best left-handed pitcher. And there's his stats. So naturally, the Giants want to bring him back. They know that they can buy out his contract for only $10,000. So they get him to sign a contract for 1965. And then they make a huge mistake. This scout for the Nankai Hawks is in town to go to the World Series. And instead of sending the $10,000 a check over to Japan with a cover letter, somebody from the front office hands it to somebody who hands it to the scout. And something's lost in communication. And the scout is convinced that he's been given $10,000. Yeah. Not just because he's a good guy. He actually thinks it's a bonus because Mashi made the major leagues. So, in December, Mashi goes back to Japan to be with his family for the New Year's. And he's given a hero's welcome. There's hundreds of people on the tarmac. There's reporters everywhere. The airport is packed with fans. They have a big press conference, and he's treated like a true returning hero. And then in the middle of the press conference, the general manager for the Nankai Hawks stands up and says, "I'm sorry, but we never sold the contract to the Giants. He's going to pitch in Japan next year." Now, you can imagine how Mashi felt. And here's a picture of him taking the train home after the press conference, after being treated like the conquering hero only an hour before. Now, the dispute between the Giants and the Hawks went on all winter, and it was called the Murakami Typhoon. And it covers a couple chapters, I think, in the book. There's lots of ins and outs. It's kind of like an episode of the Game of Thrones. But for today, we'll just say that in May 1965, they reached a compromise. Mashi would go back and pitch for the San Francisco Giants for the 1965 season, and then he, and he alone, would be allowed to choose where to go for 1966. So he returns to San Francisco. And once again, it's front page news. Everybody get a chance to read it? Now, he fits in very well with his teammates, and he becomes Willie Mays becomes a mentor and takes especially good care of him during this time. And of course, Juan Marichal, Herman Franks, there's Orlando Cepeda. Now, Mashi was famous in the clubhouse for his sense of humor and would often pull practical jokes on his other players. But he was often the butt of the jokes, too, and Gaylord Perry especially would enjoy putting rubber snakes in his locker room. Here he is at the Astrodome. Have you seen this picture, Mashi, with this space helmet?
Oh. Astrodome. Yeah.
Astronaut.
Now, most of you have probably heard of one prank that made also, once again, front page news. And Mashi, would you tell everybody what happened one day when Herman Franks went to the mound to take you out?
Okay, San Francisco Candlestick Park. Then I warming up the pen. Then that time the catcher is Jack Hyatt. He said, "Okay, Mashi, when you go to the mound, and maybe that time or a little bit late, Herman Franks, manager, come to the mound. If he come to the mound, you say, take a hike, Herman." Okay. I didn't know the means, you know. Anyway, then I go mound and then pitching. Then he come to the pass the line, you know. Then I said, "Herman, take a hike." He said, "What, what?" Then he looked to the catcher, the Tom Harrell. They talk hard, talk to, you know, something, then go back to the bench. But that game, the, we win anyway. Then the manager is very happy anyway. Then after the game, the, he talking to the media guys, you know, hey, Mashi said, take a hike, Haman. Next day, the newspaper is, Haman, take a hike.
Now, on the mound, Mashi did really well. He was known for his pinpoint control and a really outstanding curveball. And he would often trick the batters, as we all know, certain counts where American batters expect a fastball, but he would do what's called pitching backwards, and so a curveball would come in the usual place where a fastball would be expected, and he was really quite effective that way. Because he was so unusual, Mashi was able to make friends and talk to a lot of the opposing players, which back in the 60s wasn't really done. And one player is Roberto Clemente, who made a lifelong impact on Mashi. And he's going to tell us a little bit of that. But because it's a little complicated, Yuriko's going to ask him. He's going to speak in Japanese, and Yuriko's going to translate.
Okay. I was at Pittsburgh. Then at summertime, I went to the Pittsburgh. Then after the practice, very hot over there. Then I, you know, change the shirts and on the towels over here. Then went to the outside the clubhouse. Then like this, you know, very hot. Then somebody walking to me. Hey, Mashi, what? My name is Clemente. He said, what? I didn't know where anyway, but. I heard before, that, you know, maybe good player. Then Clemente, okay. He said, okay. He said, if you are, you know, good player, you better, you know, like a volunteer. Then, okay. Then I said, wait. You stay over here, okay? Then I go back to the clubhouse and pick up paper, hard paper, Japanese, you know, the mehabograph, and okay, he said, he write, Dear Mashi, best wishes, Roberto Clemente, yes, then after the, you know, he's, Nicaragua, earthquake, then 1972, December 31st, his plane go down, then died, then, when my 30th anniversary is the San Francisco, then that after the, you know, back to Japan, I start the volunteer. Then every year the playing golf, then make money in the donation. Yes, first is Special Olympics. Now is UNSCR. The boss is. Yes, already 20 years. Then one day, the September 11, I sent to the commissioner the $10,000 donation. Yes.
Awesome. So, because the inspiration of Roberto Clemente's great work, Mashi has continued after retirement to really work. And he is now the goodwill ambassador to the United Nations for Japan for refugees in the world. So, but Mashi was also a good hitter, and he did very well in the minor leagues. He only got two major league hits, but his first major league hit was off somebody a little surprising.
Oh. The Kansas City Parks, only one time the Koufax. Then he throws anyway good fastball. Then I standing then the fast pitch, he throws the fastball, swing. The ball is coming this way, and my bat is like this. Never can I hit. Then I change mine. He never throws for me the curveball, maybe fastball anyway. Then next ball is I try to bunt. South base, you know. Bunt. I am very fast. And then safe. my fast hit. Yeah.
So in San Francisco, Machi was very active in the Japanese American community and a great source of ethnic pride. And this picture arrived on Facebook about 2 weeks ago, and I had announced this tour and I was drumming up support. And I got this message, and I decided to add it to the talk. I wish I had it for the book. And the boy here is Wayne Yoshitomi, and he was 8 years old in 1965. And he wrote me and said, "Being Japanese and left-handed, I always pretended I was Mashi when I played baseball in the streets. I didn't realize until later in life how important it was to have somebody that looked just like you being in a professional sport." So he became quite a hero to a whole generation of Japanese-American children. And here's just some video. There's very little video of Murakami-san from when he pitched in the Giants. But you can see this car here. This video is from August 15th, 1965, Masanori Murakami Day, where he's honored at Candlestick Park with a day in his honor, lots of speeches, and he was going to be given a present, a car, a fancy red Mustang. And he was excited, very excited. And I'll tell the beginning of the story. He was so excited when he's out there to get the car, he stopped thinking about the baseball game. He just wanted that car. And did you get your Mustang?
Yes, before, you know, maybe two weeks ago, they said, "Hey, Mashi, I give to the Mustang. Oh, I'm very happy." Then maybe 1 week before, they changed the "Oh, you are Japanese, maybe Nissan Ferris dead." Oh, no. But anyway, I'm very happy.
See, he still has a smile on his face here in his Nissan Datsun, actually. Now, Mashi was received very well from American fans of all races, very popular even in the away ballparks. But things weren't always smooth, and maybe some of you know about this. At one point, manager Herman Franks received a death threat, and the threat said, "If you use Mashi again, I will come and shoot you." The FBI looked into it, found nothing, but they kept it secret from Mashi. And Mashi will tell you that if he knew about this, he would have been a wreck. But he was able to concentrate on his pitching. So at the end of the 1965 season, Mashi had a big decision to make. Would he stay with the Giants or would he return to Japan? He'd grown to love San Francisco. Yeah? Okay. And he really wanted to stay in the major leagues. But at the same time, he owned a great deal of debt to manager Soroka, who both signed him and allowed him to come to the United States. He put him up in his home. And Mashi had a choice, and he decided to return to Japan to honor his debt to his mentor rather than stay with San Francisco. And he returned to Japan, as many of you know. Excuse me, we need to conference.
Okay, I'm queen at that.
Regret?
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 I'm talking Japanese now. 私はね、日本に帰った時にはこっちでアメリカでプレーしたかったんだけど、私は鶴岡さんとの約束があったんで、約束は守って人間としては素晴らしく良かったと思います。でも 私の人生にとっては非常に悔いが残るということで、なんか今でもね、寂しい気持ちでいっぱいなんですね。
I want to preface saying that I'm not an interpreter by profession. So he returned to Japan, and he felt very strongly that there was an obligation. He made a promise to Tsuroka-san, and in his soul as a human, he felt that this was what he wanted to do, and he felt good about making that decision. But as a baseball player, he was very disappointed because he wanted to stay in the United States and play more. And so he says to this day, there is a kind of a regret, a missing in his life because he didn't fulfill a chance that maybe could have been. But, you know, that's can't be remedied, so.
So we've purposely left about 15 minutes for your questions. So I doubt we'll get through all your questions in 15 minutes, but we're going to do a book signing right after this. Umashi will be happy to sign books and autographs, and you can have a chance to talk to him. And that book signing will be at the University of Nebraska table in the book room. So we hope that if you don't get asked a question now, or if you want a signature and buy a book, please, that's where to do it.
With that. Without going into too much detail, I'd like to know how his career continued in Japan, and did he remain a relief pitcher, or did he become a starter, and how many years he played, and so forth.
Do you want me to answer that very quickly?
Yeah, that might be the best.
The road in Japan was rocky. He came back expected to be a superstar and quickly injured his arm and had a couple of very tough years where the fans were all over him. It was really bad. And then he straightened it out, made the All-Star team a couple years, and ended up pitching, I think, what, 13 more years in Japan?
No. Altogether, I played in Japan the 18 years.
Wow.
The over here, 2 years.
Wow.
I pitched both of starting and relief. One time the Friday I relief the 4 innings, then the Saturday relief extra innings, the 4 innings, then eight. Next day the doubleheader, Mane said, "Hey, Mashi, go pitch." What? Then I complete the game. 9 innings, yes. Then, I think 2 runs, then I win. 2 games win, anyway. 1 game's even. Then, after that, 3 days after, Mashi got starting. But cannot throw. Then knock out.
Hi, so you'd mentioned that you had a lot of support in San Francisco from the Japanese-American community, which makes sense. It's a very active community. But I looked up that you also pitched 49 games in Fresno, which meant that you had to spend a few months in Fresno. So I'm kind of wondering, what was your support system in Fresno? Was there a Japanese community that helped you along there? If not, how did you manage?
Fresno is a small Japan town. They have, you know, then Bank of Tokyo too, mm-hmm. over there, mm-hmm. about 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then everybody, you know, I go to the Fresno Giants. Yeah. Then I went to the one time that I didn't have, I lost the money, you know, spend the money.
Yeah.
Then I bring the Japanese money and change the $1 is 400 yen. Now, 120 something.
Right.
That time, 400 yen. Then I changed it. But came over here as nothing, you know, I'm nothing. Then money, if I have money, is very, like, heart is strong. Losing the money is very, you know, scared.
Yeah.
Then start the season. Everybody, Japanese people come to the field, stand watching the game. Mashi, Mashi. Yeah, I'm very happy anyway. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
So just to add on that, he actually lived with a Japanese-American family in Fresno who helped him out a great deal.
Great, great. Thank you.
In the film clip, the music in the background, the Sukiyaki, that was a real popular song here. Is that coincidental, or did it have some relationship with Mashi?
I'll tell that story real fast. It was coincidental, but it was, as most people know, just like Mashi, it was the first Japanese song to make the top 100, and the writer of that song was at Shea Stadium for that game. Pure coincidence.
And that was around 1964?
The song was a few years earlier in the United States, yeah.
I did sneak that song in there because you were going to hear the story later. I knew about the song, so.
Rob, would you care to comment on the story of that Charles Einstein says in his book about Mashi's first start in the majors?
Okay, so Mashi and I will tell this together, but he's going to have to do it in Japanese. We'll keep this clean. Charles Einstein, in Willie's time, tells a story about what happened prior to when Mashi pitched his first game, first start, where he went to the umpire, bowed, and said something obscene because his players had put him up for it. Now, Mashi has told me, and maybe he'll tell him. Can you ask him if that's true?
Is it the first time?
This is during the Masanori Murakami day.
I can't say it. Okay. but it was, no. When I went to the spring training, the Casa Grande, but people, players come to, and they teaching the bad words. Yeah. I can't say it.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So what he told me before is, no, I wouldn't have fallen for that because the first thing his teammates taught him were all the bad words. So he would. The other thing is, it doesn't take more than 2 minutes on retro sheet to find out that the umpire who supposedly tells the story was in Chicago that day and not in San Francisco. So I don't believe it. Diane.
Pardon my Japanese, but Haji Mamashite? Did I pronounce that correctly? Hajimemashita.
Hajimemashite.
Okay. Did you experience any bigotry from other players of opposing teams as Jackie Robinson did in his day? When you first played in the United States, did you experience any sort of name calling or bigotry or things of that nature?
No, sometimes trouble anyway. One time before Bakersfield, before the game, one guy talk too much. You know, I'm sorry. American people many joke, but I don't understand. I said shut up. You talk too much. Shut up. Then national anthem. Now national anthem, okay. But every time I'm standing the cap, take off the cap, go like this, standing. But that time I get mad. I sit in the seat and go like this. Then after finish the national anthem, teammate come, hey Mashi, what you doing? I said, hey, that guy is rubber. I don't like. He's American. Then how come national anthem go like this? But he said, no. It's different. You know, he's bad, but national anthem you do go like this. Then I said, okay, no more. Then one time go to the bus, to Fresno, to Reno, inside the bus, I'm sitting in the front, then about 8 hours drive. Then sometimes go like this, sleep, but some guy saw the paper, throw to me. I said, no, I'm sleepy. No, no. The couple, three times I get mad. Then I picking up the spanner, like a spanner, you know.
Wrench.
Then driver and the manager, no. Other, you know, 17 years to the 25 years old. Everybody in there. Did you? Everybody said, no. Then next days, prayers, you know, they talking to me very good. Change. Yeah, but sometimes, you know, if, you know, they,
if they're teasing him or making fun of him.
But I said, it's no good. I said, it's no good. Then sometimes get mad, but good for me. Yes.
It's an honor to have you here. Thank you.
Okay, so we have time for two more quick questions.
Yes, thank you so much for coming and gracing us with your presence. And I'm really looking forward to the film that you are making. And I hope that we can see the whole thing at our next convention or one after that. My quick question would be, who was tough out? And thinking back on the hitters you faced, what might you remember and share with us about what it meant to face those hitters?
アメリカでピッチしてる間、一番難しいバッター
。ああ、my record. Pete Rose is very tough because he hit his right 160 home runs. Then 1999, I went to the Florida, his restaurant. I met him. Oh, Marshy, how are you? He said his friend. Oh.Hey, he's a much Japanese pitcher. I hit home run 10. I said, no. No, 10. But I gave up 12 home runs. Then he hit 2 home runs. Only him, 2. Other players, only 1. Yes. But he's, I don't know now.
Mashi presents himself in a very distinguished manner. I was curious, what did he do in Japan after his professional baseball career ended?
Baseball をやめてリタイアしてからはどういう、まあその前はなんかのすごいかっこいいあのマシさんのあれで、ベースボールをやめてから何してたんですか？日本で。
I'm a couple teams coach, pitching coach, and newspaper and TV commentator, yeah, radio commentator, yes.
Thank you.
Now,
scout とかしたんでしょ？
Oh, one time the Giants scout, 3 years. But they say the report to the English is too hard for me. Anyway, my eye is okay, but writing.
I'd like to thank you all for joining us, and please join us downstairs.